Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to all our dearest Radio Islam listeners to my show Inspired Living. My name is Shaista Token, and I will be your host for this time slot every Monday, inshallah. Now, Inspired Living is my passion project this Ramadan, and the show aims at narrating stories from Islamic history on concepts which we can practice in our daily lives, inshallah. Last week, I discussed the concept of Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, in the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful. That was the very beginning of every action, where we spoke about how quickly we can reap the rewards just by practicing the simple act of the recitation of Bismillah, which invokes the help and the guidance of Allah for every task and every action. For example, be it whether we are loading the dishwasher, cooking food, helping our children with their homework. So it's simple things that will create this mindfulness of constant ibadah and constant zikr. Now, today's topic is a follow-through. So my four topics for the month of Ramadan will fit together like a puzzle piece almost at the end. And inshallah, you'll be able to see that these are very practical and things that you will be able to do throughout the year. So today's topic is niyyah, intention. And I have a guest later on, Sister Nadira Chippa, who will provide further insight into this concept. You may WhatsApp all questions, comments and feedback to 072-786-1548. Now, the interactive question for today is, what intentions did you make for the holy month of Ramadan during the lockdown period? And the examples that were given were the obvious ones with Quran khatams, practicing more nafil salah and so forth. But then the unusual ones, maybe eating healthy, avoiding certain actions and so forth. So this was placed on social media, and we have interaction at the end of the program, inshallah. Now, Radio Islam is also available on DSTV channel 826. And the reason we actually reiterate this, and last week we had a wonderful message that came through from Yasmin from Pietermaritzburg, where she said she never had a clue of Radio Islam being on DSTV. And it's the little things of sharing adverts, sharing information on WhatsApp that provide you with exposure and others with exposure, of which you will then benefit and get sawab-e jariya, which is the gift that keeps on giving. So sawab-e jariya, if you share an advert and people gain beneficial knowledge of deen or any information, and until the time where they stop practicing it, you will constantly get that reward. So let us be mindful that we are not popularizing any shows or any people as such, but our intention for sharing is to provide people with beneficial knowledge. So before we commence, let us make our niyyah and our intention of this show to receive that beneficial knowledge, take it, practice upon it, inshallah, and share it with others. The definition now, let's move on to what is niyyah. Now, it's not as simple as making an intention. It is about being sincere when we do so. It's about invoking on our heartstrings when we perform those acts. And when we have the sake of Allah at the back of our minds, where we're thinking, why am I doing what I am doing? So to break it down, how does one inculcate the habit of being sincere in their intention? Now, with intention being this pillar of worship, which we already know, bearing this in mind, when we perform the action and at the time of doing any deed, being mindful of our Creator, being conscious of His awareness that is around us, He is watching us, our insecurity comes in at that point where we think of others. So when we perform any deed, we think of other people, and that's when our intention strays or varies. And this is what others may think of us, what we're doing, what we're posting. It's for actually exposure to others or for others. So on one hand, you have your intention, which is sincere for your Creator. And then on the other hand, your intention was made bearing in mind what others may think. Now, I had a quite a good practical discussion about this the other day, about charity groups and their idea of giving charity. Why do they attach logos or their names to it? Now, remember, if you have made your sincere intention with your Creator as to why you're doing what you're doing, you should not worry about what others think about it. And this particular organization said to me, if they attach a logo or business name to their charitable group, the exposure becomes larger. The faith from businesses, NPCs, and so forth. So you're encouraging others and you're motivating others through this charitable act. Not to mention that we are aligning ourselves as individuals, as Muslims, as members of societies, as organizations, of our social responsibility, which is to give back. So on one hand, you have what the right hand gives, the left hand shouldn't know. And then on the other hand, you're using your intention to spur on that sawab of giving and making others aware that they can give too. So it is not for us to judge anyone on their intention, but for us to be sincere in our very own intention. Now, emphasizing this whole status of why niyyah is important, Umar ibn al-Khattab reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, verily, deeds are only with intentions, which means we go about robotically in our day-to-day lives. We drive cars, we go to work, we switch on cell phones and so forth. And all these things are done with no intention behind it. Why am I driving to work today? I'm intending to do work. Why am I switching on my cell phone? I'm checking my messages. However, if you do the sincere intention of, I hope to gain something from this, I hope there's khair in this, when I drive, inshallah, with the word bismillah and with the intention of reaching my work safely, I'm already getting the help and the guidance of Allah and I'm avoiding calamities. Who knows? So your intention is imperative in all your actions. Now, as a transformational coach, I would like to explain the same intention as an activation of energy. Now, when we talk about this energy in us, we talk about the allowing of an act to take place. Now, when we make a firm intention to do good, even if the action has not taken place, what Islam tells us is the angels of Allah record the benefit to you for that deed, mashallah. So it couldn't be as easy as this to motivate us, that even if we're not practicing what we've intended to do, we are still reaping the benefits. So if I have planned and I've read this somewhere during my research to read tahajjud before I go to sleep, and perhaps I fall into a deep sleep and I miss the tahajjud salah, the record of it has been made by the angels and I have got some reward for my sincere intention. The key word here, sincerity. When an intention is made through our conscious mind, that means when we are able to think and able to act, your mind is aware and in control of your intention. So you know what you are doing. So the process of deciding what you want, you visualizing that clear image of you doing it, that feeling exists, but then you detach from the outcome of what the intention may be. For example, when I go to bed at that night, I have this desire that I know at the tahajjud time, my du'as, it's one of the times of the day, it's definitely accepted. I'm now able to, because it's just before Sehri, so it's quite early and, I mean, easy for me to do. So I have that intention, I visualize myself getting up early. I have that ability to see myself carrying out the action, but then I haven't attached myself to the outcome. So the fact that I have overslept is disappointing. However, it's not the end of the world. I will try again. So that is the idea of intention. So when I made intention, just to answer the interactive question myself, this Ramadan during lockdown, I said, I have this habit in Ramadan to send gifts to either neighbors or elders in the family and so forth. And now, through the restrictions, we're unable to actually do the normal things that we would like to do to get this sawab of Ramadan, of this holy month where everything is magnified. And then I said to myself, well, instead of maybe giving them physical, tangible, material things, I will make a phone call, because this is also a heartwarming gesture when you phone people up and you actually wish them over the phone Ramadan Mubarak, and not just send that broadcasted WhatsApp message that everyone does, because it's a little bit more special. So I made that intention that I will make people happy in my family by phoning them. However, a week later, I got down to maybe half of the people that I intended to phone. Now, because my intention is at the back of my mind and it has not been fulfilled, it is an action that I know I still have to do. Whereas, if I just said to myself, oh, well, I think I'll phone everybody this Ramadan, and I didn't have the intention on the clarity and the sincerity of doing the action, it would not appeal to my conscience. So that's the difference between making niyyah and just performing actions robotically. So I would think it is the mental state that represents this commitment that we have when we make our niyyah. And I remember when I was in matric, my dearest Mulana Osman, and I hope he's listening today, he spoke about this idea of sincerity in any actions of Islam. And when I speak at my workshops, I speak to a diverse group, so not only Muslims, and I speak about this, the difference between religion and spirituality. Now, one of the main differences, I won't get too much into it, but when performing salah, it's as simple as this, dear listeners. There are three stages that we speak about that Mulana has taught me, right? And he summed it up like this. The first stage is when we intend praying. So we intend making our salah, and that is purely out of obligation. I am a Muslim. I will read my Jummah salah because Muslims read Jummah salah. So it's purely out of obligation. The second stage of the salah is, I am now robotic in my nature of my salah. I read my salah out of habit. So first was obligation, now it's habit. It's 4:30 p.m., the Asr azan goes, I'm free at that time, I have my cup of tea after, and that's my routine. So now I'm performing my salah purely out of habit and routine. And the third stage, which is vital and crucial to this thing that we call niyyah, is when I make my intention to pray, and when my desire for this prayer has no relation to time or situation. So in this moment of devotion, I am sincere. I want to have this opportunity to read my salah peacefully to my Creator, to connect, to pray for the pleasure of Allah. So the first was out of obligation, the second was out of habit, and then the third was out of sincerity. And the sincerity came from that intention, that firm intention that this is the reason I am doing what I am doing. So inshallah, when we practice our salah, and of course, every single one of us will go through all these stages. Till now, from stage three, you can go back to stage one and so forth. And I always tell people this, don't be too hard on yourself, because ultimately we know the goal is to get to stage three of being sincere, but it takes time. These are all stepping stones to becoming fulfilled in our religion. And this niyyah is the starting point. So when we make our intention to gain the spirituality, it is with sincerity of making this intention of what you actually want to achieve when you achieve it. Now, before we head for a quick ad break, I want to make a shout out to my little listeners who actually interacted with me last week already. So we have the beautiful Mahira and Layan from Lanesia. We have the brave soldiers Suleiman and Isa of PE. I have Mariam from Durban, Umar from Pietermaritzburg, Ahil and Elena from Lanesia South, and Hamad from Johannesburg. So these little listeners have enjoyed the story which I told last week. So I'm not going to disappoint them. After the ad break, inshallah, we will head to our exciting story on niyyah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back to Inspired Living. Just before the ad break, I did a shout out for the little children that tuned in last week. And I will tell you for the specific reason why I did this. So my intention was, when I decided to have the show, is to include all family members. So it's not specific to ladies, specific to men, or specific to children. It's a combination show of everyone. It's purely because our kids have never just sat and listened to radio, whether it's Radio Islam or any other radio station. It's either screen time or podcasts or the new age of streaming. But to actually sit in the traditional method and listen to Deen coming from a radio is very rare. And if they have this little memory with you during this lockdown period of tuning into their favorite shows on Radio Islam International, I think it will spur on a generation gap which exists when it comes to them listening to the radio. And the exciting part is now for them. So dear listeners, let's listen carefully and understand the lesson and the message for us to practice upon from this particular story. Here goes. Many, many years ago, there was a large fruit tree in a village where the people of the village would benefit greatly from this tree. The bark of this tree had medicinal properties, So people would get cured from the illness from the tree's ingredients. Now, some people would take the fruit of the tree, and some people would take the medicine from the tree and sell it in the city. And this way they would earn an income and prosper. Because they benefited so much from this tree, the people of the village began worshipping the tree. So they made it their idol, they worshipped it, and it became a place where everyone would go and pray. As the years passed, this tree became more and more famous and more loved by the people. They became attached to the tree, and they believed firmly that this tree gave them their source of living, their source of income. Now, one day, a very pious man, a man of deen, a man of iman, moved to this village to live there. When he saw that the people of the village were misguided and that they were worshipping this tree and treated it as an idol, he became infuriated, so very, very angry. His anger was so heartfelt that his eyes shed tears of blood upon seeing this shirk. Now, we know shirk is, instead of worshipping Allah, when we worship other objects or idols or anything besides Allah. So he became extremely angry and he could not contain himself. One day he decided he needs to do something about this. He needs to turn these villagers to understand the correct deen and the correct way of worshipping. So he rushed home and he fetched his strongest axe. Now he made the intention, he made niyyah that I'm going to chop down this tree and I'm going to stop these villagers from practicing shirk, because I know that if I show them the right way and if they understand when I chop this tree down that Allah will provide them with life and living, that they will stop doing these jahiliya acts, these acts of ignorance. So he was fervent and he marched towards the tree. He was filled with zest. And just then, Shaitan appeared in front of him. Now, listeners, we must know that Shaitan creates havoc and mischief wherever he is. And he penetrates throughout dreams. He can appear in the human form. So what he did was, he represented himself in front of this man as a human. And Shaitan then stopped the man and he asked him, "Sir, where are you off to in such a hurry?" So this man said, "I will chop down this tree that everyone is worshipping because they are ignorant and they should not be worshipping a tree." So Shaitan said to him, "Let them be. Don't worry about them. You go off and you continue to do what you need to do, your work. Don't mess with their work." So the man got very angry and he replied, "Never. I have to accomplish what I intended to, because the answer that I will give my Allah is that I have changed the hearts of people towards deen. And I want to chop down this tree to please Allah with this action." So then a fight started to stew between man and Shaitan. So they started to wrestle. And the man was very strong for Shaitan. So Shaitan was pinned down to the floor and then he began to think. Now Shaitan has this brilliant, devious mind. He has these tactics. So he came up with a plan very quickly. And he said, "Wait, hold it. He told the man, "Okay, listen, I give up. You need to listen to what I have to say. I have a proposition for you. If you do not chop down the tree, and if you stop with your intention, in return for your kindness of not chopping down the tree, I will give you 4 gold coins every day. If you are happy with what I'm offering you, please, let's just come to an agreement and you go your separate ways and I'll go my separate ways." So the man stopped and he stood up and he thought about it for a while and he said, "Well, this could work in my favor. I'm new to the village. I haven't yet found work. And let me see. Maybe I'll give it a try. Let's give it a go." So he told Shaitan, "If I do not receive the 4 coins, gold coins every day, as you promised, I will chop down that tree." So Shaitan agreed. The man agreed. And when the agreement was made, the man left. So over the next few days, the man was receiving these gold coins. So he was receiving 4 gold coins every day. And he was getting very happy about it. He's like, "Oh, I made the right decision." On the fifth day, when he woke up, however, he did not find the four gold coins as promised. Now he got very angry because he says, the agreement that we came upon, Shaitan has now deceived me. So he grabbed his axe and he started to march towards the tree again. And he marched until he met Shaitan again in his human form. And he screamed at him and he says, you lied to me and you did not follow your end of the deal. Shaitan began to laugh because he knew that it was his devious plan to not follow through and give the gold coins. So they started to fight again and they started to wrestle. But, dear listeners, this is the exciting part now. Listen carefully. This time, even though the man was stronger than Shaitan, Shaitan had won the fight. So the man lay on the ground and he was surprised. And he said, but how? How did you suddenly win the fight when I am so much stronger and I won the last fight? So Shaitan smiled and he replied. He said, dear man, the first time that you set off to chop that tree, you did so purely and solely for the pleasure of Allah. Your intention was sincere and pure. However, this time when I met you, your intention had changed. You set out to chop the tree only to get in return from me the gold coins. So if you do not return, I shall separate your neck from your body. So Shaitan scared him and gave him a threat. And he says, now go, because I am stronger than you. Upon hearing this, the man felt shame. He was defeated by Shaitan and he had to return home. So what is the message we take from the story? Remember in the first half of the show, we said there's two types of intentions. The intention that we make for our Creator and the intention which we make for others or for ourselves to benefit in some worldly way. So when we make our niyyah, we are then asking for assistance from Allah. So when the man initially was strong, it was when he asked Allah and he made his sincere niyyah and Allah gave him that power to fight the shaitan. But in the second half of the story, his intention had changed, and it changed because he made the intention for himself, for that gold coins. So Allah did not assist him and his strength was then gone and depleted. And that's why he could not wrestle and win with Shaitan. So when we make our intentions, our niyyah, dear listeners, we need to make sure and reaffirm every time that our purest of intentions is for the pleasure of Allah. Even though others are not around to see what we're doing and why we're doing it, you must remember Allah is always around us. So whatever we think in our hearts and our minds is our intention and our deal and our arrangement and our agreement with Allah Ta'ala. So that was our short story for today. We're going to head for our ad break while I get my guest speaker for today on the line, and that is Sister Nadira Chipa. Assalamu alaikum and welcome back to Inspired Living with myself, Shaista Token. For all your questions, comments and feedback about the show, please WhatsApp 072-786-1548. Now we are discussing the topic of niyyah, intention. And on the line, I have my guest for today, which is Sister Nadira Chipa. And I've always admired Nadira in her writing, in her inspiration to the masses. And she makes a very valuable addition to my show. So assalamu alaikum, Sister Nadira.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you and all your listeners. And Ramadan Mubarak.
Ramadan Mubarak to you as well. Jazakallah so much for giving us some of your time.
And Jazakallah for having me all the way from Durban.
My hometown, so I'm really missing that now. Can you kindly share with us some inspirational words or maybe a story if you have one about the topic on niyyah intention?
Gee, you know, firstly, it's such a beautiful topic. The idea of intention of niyyah, and as we know, you know, every action is determined by our intention. And us as women, as mothers, as sisters in a household, for example, and now it's the lockdown, as you know. So our intention is so important in the little things that we do. So, you know, when I hear of women, of our sisters saying that, you know, now it's extremely difficult, and you know what, I experience this for myself, where you help little ones, and it's Ramadan, and it's the lockdown, and you know, sometimes there's no help as well. So you're busy rushing around, there's no time, and your energy as well as your patience gets depleted. And then I'm going to give you a little example that we need to renew our intention, our niyyah. So when we're cooking, or when you're taking care, you're changing that diaper, you're feeding your kid, you know, a meal. And sometimes you think that it becomes a chore. It becomes something we do on autopilot. So now we're going on our day. It's our routine. We're carrying on with life. And sometimes what happens is we become somehow depressed or stagnated in it. We think that, oh, we're stuck in this rut. So how can we change that? You know, how can we now go into a day with full of positivity, full of hope and motivation for that day? That starts with intention. So when we rise in the morning, so when we wake up for Sehri, when we wake up for us, oh, do you want to have that meal? Sometimes we're grumpy as well. Our intention is important. Let us stop the autopilot and now introspect on intention. It takes a second, you know, to actually change that intention and make it from something that's negative or something that actually is holding you down or bringing you down to something that's positive and something that will illuminate, you know, not only your day, but your heart, your mind and soul, and it becomes a habit. So what we can do is introspect just for a minute. I'm going to cook a meal for iftar. Let me now renew my intention. I'm not going to do it because I have to, or because, you know what, it's a chore, or I'm doing it for my family. Again, let's do it for the pleasure of Allah. Every single intention we make is for the pleasure of Allah. Sometimes when we say for the pleasure of Allah, in our head, we don't actually accept it in our hearts. What do we mean for the pleasure of Allah? Why do I need to actually do this chore or do the cooking or see to my children for the pleasure of Allah and not for them? It's because they are Allah's creation. They are your amana from Allah Ta'ala. They are your gifts from Allah Ta'ala. So when we think about it like that, our entire process, our entire day changes from darkness to light. Also, it happens when we have bigger intentions, like when we, you know, with the intention of getting married or fulfilling half your iman, whether it's your job, intention of going to work, whether it was me, as I say, intention of writing an article. I have to renew my intention 1,000 times. Why? Who am I doing this for? Is it for the pleasure of Allah? Again, the pleasure of Allah, to please your creator, because it brings you back to pleasing your creator instead of pleasing your ego, pleasing his creation.
100%, and especially when you're saying you're doing these things which are going out to the public, so that renewal of that intention is vital, because sometimes with the popularity of things, our egos do come into play. So when we renew this intention and when we reaffirm it, that peace comes into our heart as to why we're doing what we're doing.
And you know, when your intention is purified, when that intention is purified, it gets you so much of reward that you feel it in your life as well. Yeah. You know, there's barakah in that, in renewing your intention.
Inshallah.
And also, I have to mention that, you know, sometimes, as I said, in life, we feel dampened or down or in some sort of a darkness. And today, I have to say that there's a lot of people crying out for help, emotionally scarred, psychologically damaged. Let's go back to our basics. Let's go back to every day being a blessing from Allah Ta'ala. And in that, let's find intentions and purify them, renew them, and energize them as well.
And also that intention of gratitude, to practice upon that gratitude.
And to take that further, one step further, is to be mindful of what we have.
Yes. Yeah.
At all times. And to take that intention, and actually, you know, when you say that to please Allah Ta'ala, and you want to please Allah Ta'ala, there's so many things we do in the day where we can gain that thawab, we can gain that reward. And yet we don't, because our intention is not there.
Yeah, it becomes a practice as you go along. It does form as a habit. So initially you have to consciously do it. And inshallah, with practice, it becomes unconscious, where you constantly make that intention, not even knowing you're doing it. It's become part of you.
And it becomes so a habit as such that, you know what, that actually when you're cooking, you think that, you know what, this is for the pleasure of Allah, because I'm serving his creation. You understand? So what happens there is that you become pleased with the fact that you could help the ummah. And whether it's something as simple as that, or whether it's going out and doing that way, it's the same thing. It's your intention. at the end of the day.
And on the humor side of that, when you make that intention and you cook and you say, I'm willing to sustain these little humans and my husband for the sake and the pleasure of Allah for them to be able to fast, then you don't really look forward to that compliment on the food. It doesn't really matter.
It doesn't really matter if it's gobbled or they didn't even...
As long as your intention was to do it.
I guess it comes also to the point of whether you're doing da'wah or whether you're serving humanity as such. And also now that it's Ramadan, you see that there's a lot of donations being distributed, alhamdulillah, to, you know, the less fortunate, and photographs being taken. And with that being said, the intention needs to be renewed again.
Yeah.
Again, when you're doing charity, when you're doing, it's more for us than for them.
Yeah. Also, so, that fear of that reward being taken away.
Yes, the fear of that reward being taken away.
Yeah.
Again, we have to renew our intention even a minute before we hand something over to the next person.
No, definitely. I think Jazakallah for that practical advice, because I think sometimes this day-to-day type of lifestyle that we're living, these are the things that I actually had in mind. My intention for the show was to give people easy ways on how to live with Islam as their deen in practice, you know. So Jazakallah.
An intention can be renewed at any time. So don't feel that, you know what, I spent all my life now and I don't know what I intended to do.
Yeah.
But you know something, it comes, as you said, with practice. It also comes with knowing that Allah loves you so much that your intention is purified even a minute before you could actually do a task. So let's be mindful of that, inshallah. Ameen.
Ameen. Inshallah, we'll speak to you again on my topic of shukr, which is in the fourth week of Ramadan. And take care and enjoy your newborn. And we'll speak to you soon, inshallah.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Okay, so as Sister Nadira said, it's important to link your intention with your sincerity. Now, there's one word that encapsulates this entire sincerity. It's the word inshallah. Now, inshallah, as we know, means if Allah wills. So sure enough, we are making these intentions and we have this vigor and verve now to practice this in our day-to-day lives. But without that word, inshallah, it's actually a touch and go. So I'm going to narrate something that I read, which I found very interesting because it actually shows how human, the humanness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Abdullah ibn Abbas narrated that the Quraysh tribe of Mecca were getting a bit worried during the time of Islam, of the spread of Islam, when it was becoming stronger and the Prophet ﷺ was out and he had revelation and he was giving dawah. So people were converting to Islam. So the Quraysh got a bit worried about this. So they sent two men. And these two men, their only job was to go question the Prophet ﷺ, but they were advised by these Jewish scholars in Medina. And their mission was to find out from the Prophet ﷺ and to verify that he is a prophet, so to find out whether he is an imposter or whether he's a prophet. So these two men that went were without deen, of course. So they went and they sought the Prophet ﷺ and they said, we have three questions to verify whether you are the Prophet of Allah. The first question is, I want to know about the young men. So the one man said, I want to know about the young men who left the city in the distant past and what happened at that unique event. So that was the first question. Then the other man said, the second question is, I want to know about a person who traveled through the east and west of the earth and what happened to him. And then the last question was, I want to know what is ruh, the soul of a person. So the men sat there and they waited for the Prophet ﷺ, and he replied, the Messenger of Allah listened to the questions and he said to them, come back the following day. I will give you an answer. But he forgot to say inshallah at that time. So the Prophet ﷺ forgot to say inshallah. The next day he kept waiting for revelation. Prophet ﷺ was waiting for the wahi to come and the answer to the questions to come. Because now remember, he cannot go back and find out what happened in the past without this wahi, without Allah's help. And it took 15 days for this revelation to come down. In that meantime, now the Quraysh started taunting him and remarking that he's illiterate and he's an imposter. And it caused him a lot of pain and he didn't understand why this wahi was taking so long. And on that 16th day, Jibreel alayhi salam came down and he descended with a surah called Surah Kahf. Now, after answering the first three questions in the first three rukus of Surah Kahf, the fourth ruku came down as a polite reminder to the Prophet ﷺ. And this fourth ruku, the ayah, the verses were 23 and 24 of Surah Kahf. It mentioned and it explained the cause of the delay for revelation. So why it came down after 15 days. And it was solely because of this word, inshallah, if Allah wills. So the wahi, the revelation, and that fourth ruku reminded the Prophet ﷺ that if he does not say inshallah when promising to do something in the future, and he does not invoke that Allah's will is behind helping him with his intention to answer these men, that's why it didn't come down when he wanted it. So it will not happen, dear listeners, if we do not make our intention with Bismillah and Inshallah at the end. I know I spoke to my husband earlier, and he was saying, you know, Inshallah now is thrown around very lightly. We say, oh, come visit me. Oh, Inshallah, I'll come. It's not about that we are throwing the phrase around, but again, being mindful when we use it. So it is something that we are in habit of saying, mashallah, inshallah. It's things that we do. But sooner or later, that aspect and that sincerity or that intention when using it will infiltrate into our hearts. And that intention, as I said, those three stages will come to us where sincerity will creep in. We become more conscious. We become more mindful of it. So it is important, dear listeners, for us to understand that the primary prerequisite of being a believer, of having this iman and practicing this deen, is that of submission to Allah. At the end of the day, it's all about our Creator. We need to submit to the will, to the plans of our Creator that Allah has for us. So we need to understand that this divine power of our Creator has our best interests in mind. So we can plan as much as we want. We can have the best of intentions. But whether or not it materializes is actually up to Allah and Allah's will. And there's khair in it not happening, and there's khair in it happening. So we may plan, but Allah is the best planner, as we know, and it happens for a reason. And only later in hindsight, when we look back as to why things happened or didn't happen, is when we actually understand this lesson of about our journey, about our existence and this life and how things are supposed to happen. So furthermore, we are gifted with this deen that we were born with. Without even asking for iman, we were born with this iman. So we need to nurture it and grow it. We need to cultivate these habits and practices of saying bismillah, of saying inshallah, which will please our Creator. Now, the idea of the follow-through next week for my topic is the discussion on taqdeer, which means destiny. So things that are predestined. And you will slowly see how bismillah, niyyah, and now taqdeer all play hand in hand onto our understanding of life on its journey and slowly acquiring the peace as to why things happen to us and for us from our Creator. So before I conclude, I would like to just quickly read our WhatsApp messages. I have 2 minutes. So I had a message here. Assalamu alaikum. Sister Farzana says, my intention for Ramadan was to wear hijab for the remainder of the year. Sister Layla says, assalamu alaikum, to recite more nafil ibadah. I have Brother Nazir who says, I would like to concentrate on my health and give up Red Bull during Ramadan. That's a good habit. Then we have Brother Zunaid who says, I intend making 2 khatams for the month of Ramadan. Sister Fatima says, to exercise more patience with my family. Shaista from Durban says, to make more Quran tilawat. We have little Uwais Jadwood in Durban who says, to keep all my rozas, and I am 7 years old. So mashallah, we have little listeners who have great intentions. We have Nosheen who says, to reflect on the teachings of the Quran and not just recite it. And we have Sharifa who says, to improve on all my bad habits during the month of Ramadan. We have Salia, who's pregnant in Johannesburg, and says, to keep as many rosas as possible. And then we have Sister Humaira from Lanesia who says, assalamu alaikum, I intend to read the transliteration and tafsir of the Quran to understand it better. And then we have Sister Fahima of Polokwane, who says to be a calmer mum in the month of Ramadan and to make more Quran tilawat. So alhamdulillah, we've got some lovely messages coming through. And the last one here, my intention is to spend less time on social media. So I blocked my Wi-Fi from certain apps and to make more useful time in practicing the Quran. So mashallah, we've got really good intentions, strong intentions. Let Allah be the acceptor of our intentions and our good deeds. Jazakallah to all my Radio Islam listeners for tuning in. And I will interact with you next week, Monday at 2 p.m. inshallah. Take care and be safe. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.